Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining us with another live episode of Love and Life. I am your host, Raji Love. I sure am. Yes. And I'm joined this morning by my lovely co-host, Miss Kiki. Good morning, Kiki.
Good morning, Raji Love.
How are you, dear?
Cold.
You said cold?
Yeah.
That's what happens when the seasons change, honey. People forget to change the temperatures of the AC, too.
Yes.
It happens, yeah, because I'm like, I love the coolness of the fall. You know, that's just me.
Uh-huh.
Yes, girl, let us go to get this day started nicely. Well, as nice as we can, shall I say.
Yes.
So, girl, what we got to talk about this morning, honey?
All right, let's see. I'm going to pull it back up. First, I have some very devastating news, y'all. My third husband is engaged.
Oh, no, ma'am.
Now, my first husband, of course, I married Tom. My second husband, of course, he married, and that's Khalil.
He been married a long time ago.
Me too. We got married the same year.
Oh, wow.
He got married first earlier that year, and I got married in July. Me and LL, you know, we go way back, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But my third husband, Mr. Nelly, is engaged. His long dating girlfriend, Chantel Jackson. Congratulations to the couple.
Is that the one on the show?
On what show?
On Nelly's show, Nellyville.
Oh, yes.
Okay, because I'm about to say, already been doing that. Just didn't go right, did it?
Yeah, I'm just upset.
Why? I mean, well, let me just speak from my own perspective, child. Even with LL, child, now, they've always just been eye candy to me. So it's like whether they married or not, child, it didn't really make no difference. It really didn't.
They ain't no eye candy to me. That's my husband.
Well. You know.
And I don't appreciate my husband
going off and getting married without your permission.
Oh, I'm trying to told you. I'm sorry, Al. I'm trying to pull up the other stories that's taking forever to come up.
I'm just like I said, for me, yeah, it was just nice to look at anyhow. And as long as they don't get that married body, what they call it, child, when they just let themselves go, then I'll still just be looking at them, you know what I'm saying?
Hmm.
Call it what it is, but, yep, that's exactly what I'll do. But they look nice and drunk and stuff, but then it's like, okay, I'm thinking, okay, yeah, they did show. Why is it that they took them so long to get? They seem like they've been together for a while now. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, yeah, he took his real time, child, trying to get married, I think.
All right. Now, ABC is reportedly pissed at Michael Strahan.
Oh, my.
Michael Strahan mentioned he brought up the drama with Kelly Ripa and himself on Friday's show, Good Morning America.
Mm.
Yes, he brought it up, and ABC is not too happy.
Well,
it was supposed to be a wash your hands, move on. You moved on to yours. I moved on to mine. Type of deal, but But people want to know. You know, people have been asking.
Did somebody ask him about what happened, or did he just have a sit down and talk?
Yeah. I didn't actually see the show that day.
Mm-hmm.
But they said that viewers were asking, and, you know, he pretty much kind of tried to sum it up. Yeah, without bashing her. He just summed up what actually happened. And
for those of us who didn't see it, then what did he actually say?
Let me pull it up.
I know I have a tendency. I do. I really do.
Well, you know, I should have pulled it up in the first place. Okay. Michael Strahan covers the latest issue of People and magazine, and he talks about Kelly and the whole debacle, ABCD, exes, execs aren't too thrilled. On Good Morning America, he was asked about the interview, and he gave a snippet of what the interview actually said. So they're still not mad, just not mad about him saying it on the on Good Morning America. He actually did most of the talking and, you know, spilled it in People's magazine.
This is what, because he was asked about it.
Right. The magazine, he is no longer friends with Ripper after he has moved from Live to Good Morning America.
Mm.
At one point, I think we were friends. I don't know what happened at the end, he said. An ABC rep dissed it as old gossip. Strahan cover was short-lived after People rushed to print a big Jolie and Brad's divorce story. Considering Michael's exit from Live was a major part of 2016, how could anyone expect him not to talk about it?
For real. That is what.
I mean, I don't see anything wrong with him. Everybody knew what was happening. Everybody, it was her posting things, doing things. Like, everybody knew it was a thing with them. And for them to be mad with Strahan for just kind of like clearing up the air and saying it was a little riff and confirming it, I mean, I don't get it, but shout out to him.
My thing is people always think that they can tell people what to do. So that's the thing. You want to do stuff, but then don't want people to talk about it?
Exactly.
Really? I'm like, yeah, y'all just basically pushed him out the door because of whatever happened going on, but then it was made to be such a big issue. Y'all created that issue. That wasn't something that
right.
You created.
Exactly.
And y'all created, but you don't want him to talk about it. Whatever. If somebody asks him, he has the right to discuss anything that comes from his perspective.
Exactly.
I'm like, yeah, like that cow in the moon, girl. They'll get over it.
Okay. All right. Congratulations to Miss Tatiana Ali and her husband, Dr. Vaughn Raspberry, on welcoming their son. Happy birthday, Tatiana.
Happy birthday?
I mean, Lord, congratulations. I was reading somebody else's birthday, and
Dr. Vaughn, what's his name?
Raspberry.
Vaughn Raspberry, wow. All righty then, that sounds cute. She had her first child. Bless her heart. Ashley is having a baby. So there's Will Smith might say, baby, no!
Yeah. little Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, the little sister.
Bless her heart, bless her heart. But yeah, she's, you know, she's definitely, you know, beyond that time now. So it's like, yeah.
Exactly, exactly. Hold on, y'all. I gotta pull up the other one. It didn't save it. No, it's a good one. Hold on. I'm gonna get it, y'all. I'm gonna get it. Oh yeah, I didn't tell about Shorty Low passed away.
Oh yeah.
Low.
Shorty Low. Bless his heart.
Yes.
Driving at 7 something in the morning.
Yeah, that was horrible.
Two other people in the car. Well, two females in the car.
All right, this story is very devastating to me. Toni Braxton, $124,000 tax money.
Tax what?
Again.
Wait, she's getting hit with taxes, with, huh?
$124,000 tax lien. Why shouldn't she get the...
A lien on what?
...has in order. They just put a lien on some of her personal property. Taxes. If the tax is unpaid, so they can... When you don't pay your taxes, they can put tax. They can put a tax lien on your car, on your house.
Mm-hmm.
They can see stuff like.
But normally, it would generally be a lien on whatever it is that they're trying to charge. That they're trying
no.
to taxes for.
No. That's when you get a lien, like from a bank. You know, like your mortgage. Yeah. You put a lien on your home for your mortgage. If somebody is suing you, they could get a lien put on your car. But when it's taxes, the government can put a lien on any and everything.
Right. I mean, they can. I got that. I'm just thinking, but what is it that she got that she's just not paying her taxes on? That's what I'm trying to figure out, because it's like she already had the same issue with her houses and everything else.
Well, these are like her income taxes. And her something other tax, but she thought she would be a little more comfortable now because Toni is not making. I mean,
a whole
lot of royalties.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, she's doing a lot with, you know, her show in Vegas, I believe, and stuff,
well,
and the
but
show.
She's not making as much as the Toni, you know,
mm-hmm.
to make, you know what I mean? So I don't understand. The only good thing is she's dating one of the men with money. This is the Birdman respect on it. You know, help out and put some little respect on her name.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Miss Toni Braxton, girl, you and Iris, you just need to give it up.
Girl, see, they have a long-standing relationship, too. Girl.
When do you, you know, like, you try to do right, pay your taxes right, but when you get to status like Toni Braxton and people are already, she needs to fire her accountant, first of all.
At some point, when you know you're buying big stuff, or even when you're getting your income, by now it should be a conscious thing that she should just be, you know what, let me see what my tax status is, because you ought to get tired of hearing these things or coming with these people coming at you for any and everything all the time about you and your taxes, girl. At some point, when do you stop trying to put it on your accountant and just be like, well, hell, let me just take a hand on some of this, my dang self, so I can just at least keep up with it, see where it's at. You know what I'm saying? Just take a moment to look at what you're doing and just be aware of it. It's like, girl, bless your heart. That's all I can tell you, Sharon. It's like, now, I know I don't know nothing about making as much money as she makes, true enough. I really, truly don't. But damn. You know you got taxes to be paying and you're trying to be a law-abiding citizen, then, I mean, by all means, you know where your income is coming from. You know what I'm saying? By now, you ought to be able to figure what your taxes should be on your income because you've been making money for a long time and you've been having IRS issues for a long time.
Right.
So by now, you should know what it is expected of you to be paying in your taxes. You know what I'm saying? If you don't know nothing else, you should know what your tax amount should be going towards the government because they've been coming for you for a long time.
Okay.
You know? So get it together, Tony. Get it together, honey. Get it together on your income because we're getting tired of you having to go through these issues. You make money, but then you don't want to pay the taxes on it, but you don't know that you got to pay the tax. Or you, whatever the case is, I don't know. Whatever it is, get it together. Just get it together.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. I'm like, I don't even make that much money, but my taxes are caught up, child. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know who watched Bring It. I don't watch Bring It. I don't know who watched Bring It.
Bring It? Oh, with the diamonds. Oh, girl, you don't watch Bring It?
No.
Oh, no.
Well, Mr. John Connor, one of the coaches, Memphis dance coach, that's on Bring It.
Mm-hmm.
He was arrested for statutory rape and exposing his students to HIV, because he has HIV.
Oh, no,
and with some of his students, yes.
Oh, my.
I don't know who Mr. I don't watch the show, so I'm not familiar with him.
Say that name again,
because
I don't know the name.
John Connor.
John Connor.
Yes, he's one of the coaches for, I think, the Dolls. I don't know. I don't watch the show. I'm not really.
Right. No. I watch the show, so I can probably tell you.
Well, let me find out which.
I'm looking. Says, ooh, and then they said he actually attempted suicide, bless his heart.
Yes.
Last month.
Yes, the allegations came out last month. But the actual him being arrested and everything took happen last week.
Yeah. I'm just like, now see, this is the thing. Okay. Yeah, I've seen him. They've competed, you know, it's like, you know what just to give a little synopsis of the show, just in case people don't know. Bring It is a show that was based on, the title of the show was based on the movie Bring It from, you know, like the cheerleader dance competition that started with Kirsten Dunst and the other girl that was in the movie, and it was like, yeah, and then, of course, that's where we really became famously known for, I'm looking at the girl's face, but it's like Gabrielle Union. I'm like, my mind just be wandering sometimes. Gabrielle Union really kick-started her career on that movie when she brought it, you know, with the cheerleading competition. And so from there it became a little thing where, you know, they got it, you know, they have at least about four more to follow or something like that. But that's where the title of the show comes from. But the show itself is not cheerleaders. They are dance teams.
Uh-huh.
It is there's this Diana Williams. She's the coach of the Diamond Dolls, who the show is based around. And they're always getting into competitions, but they are getting a lot of challenges from what I can see this season also from, you know, competing coaches that truly – really want to basically show them Diamond Dolls, not because the Diamond Dolls got the show, that's what they say. So they keep for the Diamond Dolls because it's like they keep trying to step up, but they was like they just can't do it. Oops, sorry, honey. So, yes, this is one of the coaches, I believe, from one of the Memphis teams. Let me see if I can see the name of his team on her. He coaches, let me see, the Dancerettes. Yes, that's who he coaches, the infamous Dancerettes. Yeah. They've been coming from, you know, for her for the longest time. Now, the whole HIV status thing, did I know about it? No. But at the same time, it's like, you know what? Bless his heart. But then they're saying that he's exposing his students.
Right.
And statutory rape kind of
stuff. Right. Because they're underage, yes, yes.
They're underage. And see, now, call me crazy, but this, I guess, you know, when it comes to that show, they don't actually highlight all of the dance team, I guess, because, or if he has a studio, which I'm guessing he probably should be, and he's the coach, you know, of the team, if he has the studio, he may have different classes, so that might be the case. But the girls that they actually show for the teams, I don't recall there being any guys on the show. You know what I'm saying? On his team, I say. So then the students, being that it's statutory rape, you know, that's a term that, you know, when it comes to gay men now, and I say this because it's just one of those things, it's like people like to try to say and do. So it will, when it comes to it, it's like I always got to put a little twinge of doubt in there, because, and it's not because it's not true or not, just like I don't know him, I don't know him personally, and I'm not doubting anything that may have happened in his past because I don't know his past. But just upon the facts of how things typically can go when they find out that somebody has HIV and then they're dealing with a bunch of kids in this kind of aspect, it's like sometimes stuff can be put out there to say that it actually happened that way. And it's not always necessarily true. It's like the same thing going on with, you know, these situations with Eddie Long. But, you know, Eddie Long has relationships with these guys. But to me, it's like they made it seem like it was something other than what it was actually, what it actually was. These guys were not little 10, 11-year-olds. They were like 15, 16, 17, well into the knowing of what the hell they were doing when they were actually having sexual relations with men, and they felt jilted. Now, I don't know if that's the same thing going on here. I don't know. But, you know, I'm just like, I'm not going to condemn somebody for what they actually did until I actually know the whole story. I'm not going to just speculate based upon what other people are putting in this magazine or on this article about him, because I don't know him. That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Right. I mean, and I totally get that, but at the same time, a lot of the kids did come forward on it. It was an outrage.
And
I think they put a lot on it because he is on a show with kids.
But the show—that's what I'm saying. The show that he's on, from what I've seen, it was predominantly, not all that I've seen, were females on his dance team. I don't recall seeing any guys on the dance floor battling these dancing dolls.
Well, they had some young men come forward. Now, they probably didn't make the cut for the actual show. They probably was his students that he was trying to groom to get ready. Because a lot of times when you see a show, you actually see cut and clip. And not, you know, the whole shebang on them. And plus, the show wasn't surrounding him. It was more surrounding the dancing dolls. So, you know, we probably didn't get to see. And he mentored a lot of young gay black men as well. And with him mentoring them, a lot of the young men said that that's when their sexual encounters happen. So it's sad because he is a mentor, and you take these young men innocent, but he was trying to get an outlet for the young black men to talk about their issues with being gay.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as a that's just like anyone. When you take on that term of mentoring someone, you have to draw a line.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where the parents are really upset because you didn't draw the line. And then you are HIV positive. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
you're supposed to be helping them, and you're actually mistreating them.
Mm-hmm. And again, that's only if that's the way it went. But
right.
I agree with you. I'm looking at a picture of one of the, I guess, the dance teams that he's showing, and there are actually two guys in the actual picture.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. Maybe that's why I didn't notice them before, because they got all these females around, but they do have two guys in this picture with them. So I'm like, all right. But, you know, it's still that thing, like I said, it's always a stigma to me when it comes down to this kind of situation because of the fact that, you know, being a gay man.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, for me, I find it hard to just initially just go in on, you know, for the jugular when it comes to these kind of situations because I feel like I would want to really know the situation and find out what truly what's going on or is going on before, you know, really throwing stones at this man. Because it's always, like they say, it's always two sides to these stories. But when it comes down to it, you know, it's like people love to try to condemn things, especially when it comes to the gay community. So I'm like, I just don't know if everything that they say about it is the actual truth. Now, if it is the actual truth, then he needs to be punched in the face, slapped the shit out of, and probably put in jail, too, and left there for however long they decide to leave him there. But at the same time, if it's overhyped and it's not what they're claiming that it truly is, then by all means, don't just start trying to, you know, basically go in for the jugular on people just because that's what other people are saying the case is, you know?
Exactly.
All right, so
hi.
That's the key.
Yeah. And you know what? You're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty.
I don't know when the last time that was ever the case, you know.
Right?
No, I have no idea when that was ever the last, you know, the last time that was
last?
The case.
Like you, everybody's making their opinion now off of this young man, off of the media, and people are already getting their parents' side of the story, but nobody gets his side of the story. And when he gets to court, everybody has already made their preconditioned way of feeling about him. You know what I mean?
Of course. And that's why I say it always comes from to me. It's like they see the situation written on paper because what somebody said, and then they go in for the jugular. Oh, that is so wrong. Oh, he this and he that, and he needs to be the. But at the same time, again, if we don't know the whole story, let's not just be so quick to just cut people.
Well, I'm going to tell you one of my bloggers and vloggers that I watch is actually from Memphis, Tennessee. And it's actually pretty close with the guy
mm-hmm.
and knew everything as it was unfolding. The young men had actually been letting people know that this was going on. One of the young men felt that he was in love with the coach and went around and was letting people know he was in love with the coach.
How
that's how
close
it
is he?
He's one of the young men that was on the team.
How old is he?
I don't know. They didn't say his age, the young man's age. But he was infatuated and in love with Coach. And not only him, but another guy. So I guess it must be the two that might be in the picture. I don't know. Found out, and he was also in love with
the coach.
And the blogger, Justin J. Twelve, gave a whole background of the whole ish. Because I guess Memphis is like, you know, any other small city. Information gets around. So, yeah, he felt bad for the guy because he knows the guy, but he did give a whole write-up on it. But I found out with another vlogger was actually saying how much in love these little boys were with the coach. Now, I have to say this, though. At teenagers' age, you know, when you get to a teenage age, you find someone that you are. You find an adult that you are attracted to. It's not on purpose. It's just, it's the fascination, I guess, of the whole, oh, that's a nice looking teacher or professor or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I was never into the old people when I was a teenager. I did have one, he was a counselor. Homeboy was fine. And every chance he got, he gave me a pass to come and hang out in his office and talk about what was going on in the school. And I would do that because he was fine. And I think he kind of liked me, and that's when I stopped. Once he started, like, you know, he started out with come, you know, a half an hour in his office. And one day I sat in his office pretty much half of the day, and he was just writing out the excuses for my classes. And I was like, okay, you know, other people would come in and out as well as I sat in there doing work and just talking and stuff. And I kind of felt that he really was liking me. That was the last day I ever went back, and he even tried to come find me in my classes and was like, "Why? Hey, why you haven't been back down?" And I was like, "Oh, I'm good." So yeah.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, you. But that was just me. It was just like, okay.
Right. It's easy to see when some stuff is going on, but see, this is where. When that kind of thing happens, now, I'm always an advocate to say this, at least this amount. When it comes down to it, being the adult situation, you should just still be aware that there is not a line to cross like that. You should basically not cross the line. And I say that wholeheartedly, even with the John Connor situation, you should just not cross the line, regardless as to what's going on the other end. Just don't cross that line.
Right.
But on the other hand, in that same situation that you were just in, you know, there would have probably been some other females at that time in your age range or younger that would have probably taken full advantage of that situation and did, you know, whatever that
and
came
I found
off,
out
all
he,
of that.
He started after... Like a month after I stopped going, there was another female that they would leave campus together. And she would go around to the back, and you know how school was made. And he would leave out the front of school. And our school was not little, so it's not something that, you know, you can be at one part of the school and see.
They could be created where they cut off of the second way out, which was going through the mall, because they gated that area off. So there was only one way in and one way out of the school, and it's a big school. So with one way out,
then,
you can see who's coming out.
But then, It was the mall side you can get out.
Mm-hmm.
It was also you can go behind the football field and drive off this dirt road and get out.
Oh, I didn't even know they had the dirt road back there.
Yeah, and then they had the two, of course, the two parts by the canal.
Mm-hmm.
But he would go out by, if anybody listening and know, you know, our old school, there was the 100 building, which was right in the front of the building.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was, of course, the gym and everything, which I think was like the 900 building or something like that.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't 900, I don't think.
No. I know they did. We had 10 buildings.
Yeah.
And each
but one of the buildings was considered the cafeteria, I think.
Yeah. And but the cafeteria didn't have a number, but it was one of our 10 buildings. But it was 100 to 900.
Yeah, but they went in a circle. So I think that building was considered the, I think it was 500, because they had the first building where the office was the building 100. Then
mm-hmm.
the two buildings parallel to that was 2 and 3. The cafeteria, I think, was building 4, and then the gym where the ROTC and fine arts classes was building 5. Then you come back up to building 6 and 7 on the other side. 7 was the mm-hmm. I think 7 was the number that they stopped at as far as the building numbers.
No, it was 900 because I had a class in building 900.
Then that must be right on the side of where the office is. And well, what was the 800?
Right.
I guess they considered the office the 800 building or something, where
yeah.
The handicap classes were.
Yeah, that must have been 800. But anyway, well, the building back there where the gym was, she would leave out of the gym and ROTC, and he would leave from the 100 building and drive his vehicle around, pick her up, and then go out the mall parking lot. But if you were standing in the 100 building, you saw him leave it for the day,
mm-hmm.
you wouldn't expect him to come around and go out of the to the mall parking lot. And you probably wouldn't even follow because of the way the school was made to see him getting in his car and leave around. You would have to run to the back to actually see her getting in his car to put two and two together because he drove a little sports car that was had the dark windows, and she used to go and get in his vehicle behind, and then they would leave off campus. Well, that I guess lasted for a little while until she stopped coming to school. So we don't know what happened, but she just.
Ooh, let me give a story that might have been the case, just in case it did happen. I wanted to be the first to say it. See what had happened. She probably A, got pregnant, and then she didn't want to discuss who the baby was, who the baby daddy was, and it might have been for him. But she had to lay low, get out of Dodge, and go somewhere else. Or B, her daddy might have found out what was going on because her grades were slipping. And then she was wondering, like, oh, well, what's going on? So somebody had her followed and found out that she was with a teacher, so she had to stop going. See, I'm saying.
Okay. All right. Now, the most notorious killings, there's a book out, and because I wanted to touch on this one real quick because I know she, they have the story out, JonBenet Ramsey. There's a book, and they have a whole bunch of white, killers on the cover because they're the most notorious crime. And the one picture that they do have on it, even though this person was acquitted, is O.J. Simpson.
But they still say it's a notorious crime, though.
Right, but he was acquitted. Okay. And for JonBenet, yeah, I don't know if y'all watched the story, but real quick, her brother gave an interview, and he laughed the whole interview about how when he used to get mad at JonBenet, he would hit her with objects, and his parents would get mad. He said the night that she was missing or killed, her parents came into his room, but he was sound asleep. He didn't hear anything. But in the 911 call, you can hear him in the back. And the whole time he was doing this interview, he was laughing hysterically. Now, some people say it's because probably he was nervous. But he seemed like a sociopath. Why would you laugh when you're talking about the death of your sister.
Well, now, give and take, I mean, there is some give in that, because, you know, I've heard situations where people be like, well, they do have that kind of nervous laugh syndrome when stuff is on and they're uncomfortable talking about stuff. They get this laugh going. I mean, I've heard this from a lot of people, so it's not to say that it's not possible.
Mm-hmm.
It does seem a bit odd when you see it happen, because I've seen people just start, you know, laughing when they're nervous, just uncontrollable laughing. I've seen it, but it just looks very odd, to say the least, especially in this kind of situation. I mean, if that's the case, it is what it is, but if it's not the case to where that's never happened to him before, where he's just starting to laugh about whatever making him nervous or whatever, my thing is, okay, it is what it is. The girl died how many years ago? And unless they basically trying to open the case or whatnot, or if the case is even still open, I don't know. But it's like, you know.
No, it's considered a cold case, but they're trying to.
I'm like.
They're trying to find her killer.
Look, let us put it like this, Chad. The situation when they were talking about it to me. You know, this was, how many years ago was it now? 25 years, 21 years or something? It was 20-plus years ago.
Mm-hmm.
No, actually, it wasn't 20-something years. It couldn't have been 20-something years ago, because I remember I was, if I'm not mistaken, I was here.
Yes, we were living in Atlanta, yes.
In Atlanta.
So I was there, too.
Yeah, so it was roughly, I'm going to say, like the year when we moved here, I think, when we first.
Yeah, I think it was like 99, yeah.
Yeah. In 99, so it was 17 years ago when this happened. And in 17 years, they still don't know who, what, when, why, and where happened to this little 5-year-old girl.
Mm-hmm.
My thing is, you know what, either they know and just ain't going to solve it, or they're not really trying to put much effort into trying to solve it, because 17 years, really. I'm like, it's always been a situation to me that ain't never made sense. The biggest point.
Right.
And I'm going to try to say this quickly. The biggest point being that she's a 5-year-old girl and the parents did not know what was going on with her, like where she was or how it could have happened. They never said anybody broke into the house, because it was no sign of breaking in. There was no sign of any struggle that happened. It was just the fact that this little girl just wound up dead kind of how, and they don't know how. And I'm thinking to myself, how is it that you don't know what's going on in your own house when ain't nobody broke into it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody broke into the house. Nobody actually put up a struggle, and she's just dead, but you don't know how. So it's been a cover-up to me. Somebody did something where it's like, if you didn't, that's like saying, okay, now you got a child. Y'all at home at night. She's in her room, in her bed, or wherever the hell she at, in the house. She's in the house. Ain't nobody else in there but the people that you know that's in there. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nobody broke in. Nobody kicked no doors in. Nobody broke no windows.
Mm.
So, but yet.
Well, the window was broken, but it was broken from the inside.
A window that's on the inside?
The window, it was, you know how you break a window and they can tell if it's broken from the outside or the inside?
That's because of where the glass falls.
Right.
Okay, so somebody broke the window from the inside.
But everything was clean.
Outside.
Right, but everything was clean, so if you would just walk up to the crime scene, you couldn't tell it was came from the inside or outside because they cleaned it.
But they was able to tell, so apparently they still found glass remnants.
Right.
And then how long has the